This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sorry, bobbing my head, a little Mary J.
You closed your eyes. I saw you feel that in your soul.
Oh, I love this song. You don't like Real Love, Mary J?
Oh, I do, but it was just interesting to see that hit you so profoundly.
Yeah, I was singing this morning, had no idea Smalls was there. I was literally singing Taylor Swift, and I walked around the corner and almost bumped into her, and I pulled a Kramer from Seinfeld, and I had to jump back. Yeah, I've been in a singing mood today.
What are you going to sing on the way home?
I don't know. Good question. I have to figure out what song. Greeny, I guess. I don't know. Is that
Greeny?
What I'm going to... Yeah, Greeny and Hembo.
Yeah, there you go.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. CeCe is at Get Up right now. By the way, speaking of Hembo, he said something to me today. This guy is just a fascinating individual.
Hembo,
so
yeah. He's one of one.
Oh, my God.
There's nobody like Hembo.
So he said, you know, I'm out next Monday. I said, oh, yeah? What are you doing? He goes, I'm going on vacation. And I said, well, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Cooperstown to the Hall of Fame with friends.
Nice.
Is that a vacation or a trip? I think there's a difference between a vacation and a trip. That's a trip.
If you have to take time off of work, it's a vacation because you're using vacation days.
Okay, but if like you go to a Hall of Fame, that's a vacation?
Yeah, because
no Hall of Fame is in a warm weather climate. Springfield, Mass, Canton, Ohio, Cooperstown, New York. Vacation would indicate some sort of warm weather or really cold.
I was to say, I just went on vacation and I went skiing.
Right, but don't you think it has to be an extreme? Would you say going to the Baseball Hall of Fame is a vacation or a trip? I think it's a trip.
I say vacation is doing something in your allotted time off from your job that you love. Because not everybody's a beach person. Not everybody's a mountains person. So if Hembo loves the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You can't even say it without laughing. And you love baseball. And I grew up absolutely loving baseball, my favorite sport by a mile growing up, right? So I am not in any way, shape, or form laughing at the concept of going to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right.
I am not.
Right.
I think it is absolutely a worthwhile trip. That's not a vacation.
But he's taking time off of work. Therefore, the context around said trip changes and it becomes a vacation.
Yeah, isn't a staycation, a staycation is not a vacation?
Great call, Nuno.
No, because they actually changed the name of it, Nuno.
Staycation.
Right. They don't call it vacation. They call it staycation.
Because
they
you're vacationing where you're at.
Like, exactly. You're that's staying still.
Also, next time you fill in for Greeny, you have to ask Bubba, the producer, to tell you his Hall of Fame story with him and Freddie Coleman drove up to the Hall of Fame to
what?
Cooperstown one time.
Hold on,
together.
Hold on.
Yes.
Bubba and Freddie Coleman took a road trip together to Cooperstown.
I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in on
yes.
this. Those are
yes.
two really good guys.
I know, but I don't understand how this could possibly have come together. What
probably a
prompted
show,
the
right?
two of them go?
Are they doing a remote from there or something?
No, it was in a remote. It was literally like, I think it was one of those
funny.
Like, I want to go, you want to go, so you pick me up by, you know, pick me up at 9 and we'll drive up there together. I think it was like it went down like that.
I'll bring snacks.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that's interesting.
Okay, I have so many questions. Who was the driver?
Bubba.
Bubba was the driver. Yep. Okay. Did Freddie bring snacks? I know Freddie was on the aux because Freddie's a music guy. He picks his music every day for the show. I don't know if he still does that, but when I was producing for Freddie, he did that. So I know Freddie's on the aux. Who was the snack guy on that trip? That's a crucial component to a good road trip.
That I'm not sure, but I also know they were joined by Freddie's wife. She went with them as well. So it was Bubba, Freddie, and
wait
Freddie's
a minute.
Wife.
Mr. and Mrs. Coleman
and Bubba? Hopped in Bubba's car and drove up to Cooperstown. Yep.
That's not a trip nor vacation. That's just interesting. I don't know. I mean, you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame with some friends. That's a trip. There's a difference between a trip and vacation. I think that Hembo is taking a trip, not a vacation. I do think it is different in that regard. 888-SAY-ESPN, telephone number to join us here on the show. As we had massive news yesterday. We expected it, but it still happened, right?
Yes.
And when it happened, it still is of significance. Russell Wilson going to be released by the Denver Broncos. The 2 years stay there. Obviously, not very successful in Denver for anybody involved. Mark Schlereth won 3 Super Bowls with the Broncos and Washington as well. It was a guest on Amber and Ian last night and gave this about Russ in Seattle and Denver.
I think over time, when you got celebrity in Seattle, some of that changed a little bit. and you acquiesce for that guy to have his people in the building. You know, he had four or five different people within the building that were monitoring what he did, what he ate, how many reps he took. Hey, listen, when you're winning and you're competing at a championship level, everybody just kind of, you know, whatever, it's fine. But when you're not, and some of those things get looked at a little side-eyed, you know, when your family, you know, I mean, here in Denver, for instance, like during training camp, his wife and his kids could go in the facility, use the bathrooms. Everybody else has to use the porta potties. And I think over time is what happened in Seattle. I don't think it's happened here in Denver, but I think over time in Seattle, it really wore the nerves of some of the players he played with very thin. And he became a fairly unpopular guy with some of the team, but a lot of the staff.
So I understand what Schlereth is saying. I don't know that it's necessarily fair. Like, he married a celebrity. Like, there's going to be people that, like, you have to protect her. I mean, honestly, you have to protect her in a way that is different than average everyday person, don't you think?
You could make that argument, but if I'm your teammate, that's not something that I want to hear. I want us to all be equal. How am I supposed to believe in you and think that we're all pulling the rope the same way if you constantly put yourself on a different level than me? And it's not just that with his wife and the bathrooms at training camp. It's the office. It's the parking spot. It was all of these things that he was doing to put himself outside of the group, outside of the team.
That all said, if you can get a quarterback that's going to give you, what, 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, I believe, from last year in 15 games for $1.2 million, think about that. Just leave it at that for a second. I'm going to say to you, Team X, Michelle Smallman, you are the general manager of Team X. You can sign a player that is going to give you 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and you're going to pay that player $1.2 million. Every GM in the league gets excited about that notion. Obviously, there's layers and there's nuance with it with Russell Wilson. I understand that.
Right.
But in general, that is a massive value where he had no value to Denver.
Sure.
And he actually, in a way, he hurts their value moving forward. I think he has enormous value now to other teams.
When you say it like that, it's the blind resume of this is the output you're going to get for these financials. Sure, it sounds like an absolute no-brainer for a lot of teams that are in need of a quarterback. But you're right. This isn't just that. It's not just the numbers and the financials. You have to make sure that Russell Wilson is going to come into your building and he's going to be someone that meshes well. He's going to be somebody that helps you establish your culture and your identity, not somebody that is trying to work on his culture and his identity. And I think we've seen that a little bit in Denver and certainly a little bit at the end in Seattle. And if I'm a team and I really do think I'm building something, I need to make sure that he's on board with that.
All right, so now we have what Denver does, right? We talk about Russ. We know that there's a possibility of the Raiders, of the Vikings, if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, of the Steelers, which you and I both default to put every quarterback with Mike Tomlin. We just think that circumstance, that situation is going to be good. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, gives advice to the Denver Broncos as to what they should do now moving forward.
I think, number one, they'll have to try and get up. But there's going to be that group of teams, 11, 12, 13, 14, them being in that mix, that is going to try to get up. I don't know if they'll be able to get into the top three for one of the big three, at least. I do know this. Sean Payton has a type. And if they can't get one of those top three, I firmly look at Bo Nix out of Oregon and J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan as two guys that certainly fit that type when it comes to Sean Payton-style quarterbacks.
So those two, we've heard Mike Tannenbaum say, ESPN front office insider with us yesterday here on Unsportsmanlike, that he thinks there's going to be six quarterbacks in the top 16. Denver is sitting there with a top 16 pick, and they are sitting there right now at, what, 12 overall in the draft, that now I am assuming, even without trading up Smalls, that they're going to draft one of these guys at 12 overall.
Absolutely. It seems like that would be the smartest move for them, knowing that Sean Payton could choose his guy, could handpick his guy and develop around him. They could continue to grow together. Feels like it would be a smart thing to do, especially in a quarterback rich draft like this. I wonder if they're a team, Evan, that could identify their guy and they could be aggressive in some way and go get him. Maybe move up.
Well, that would be probably McCarthy, right?
He's somebody that I think would be a good fit with Sean Payton, a good fit in Denver.
I mean, if Bo Nix out of Oregon and Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington are taken before they go at 11, I'd be stunned by that, right? I mean, that would be six in the top 10.
There's always surprises right? on draft night. And I just, There's this thought in my mind, Evan. I keep going back to last season and how many quarterback injuries we saw and how many teams are not only in need of a quarterback right now, but might be wanting to do what you always suggest. Even if we have a guy in place, if this guy truly could be the next person that we could pass the baton to, a la the Green Bay Packers,
yeah.
Why don't we just go for it?
I agree. I agree with you agreeing with me. So yes, it'd be weird if I didn't agree on that one.
I just keep thinking about that. Coming off this season, how many teams are like, I don't want to be put in that position again, and I am going to make sure that I'm set up for the future, even if it costs me a little bit now.
And they don't want to make the Russell Wilson trade.
Yes.
They don't want to act out of, and I don't think that was acting out of desperation, but retrospectively, like obviously it was. Eric and Madison listening on 100.5 FM ESPN Madison. What's up, Eric?
Good morning. I was just calling to clarify the vacation and trip thing. I think it's pretty simple to distinguish. A vacation is when you go without your kids, and a trip is when you go with your kids, at least if you have kids and you want to go on a fun spring break.
Interesting. Okay, Eric, so Hembo in this case, and thanks for the call, I believe is going without his children and without his wife. He is going with friends. He is going with friends to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Great trip. I don't think you can consider that a vacation.
By the way, if I'm going to the Baseball Hall of Fame, I want to go with Hembo.
Hold on, though. Question for you, because I've learned more information about this.
Oh, okay.
So how many times is it acceptable to go to a Hall of Fame?
Oh, I know nothing other than what I said, Nuno. Because, like, literally what I shared is all I know about this.
Talking to Bubba, it seems like it's like his fifth or sixth time going.
Wow.
So, like...
Of course it is.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves the Baseball Hall of Fame.
It's not like it's really like a huge place, I'm assuming, and like it takes you days to figure it out and you don't have that much time. Because he's coming back to work on Tuesday, so it's just like it just feels... How many times is enough? Like, because he's not taking his daughter, so, and they're still too young. Like, I get it when they get older, be like, hey, let me show you what daddy geeks out about, and they can look at him and be like,
yeah,
dude,
no,
you're a dork.
He's right. I've taken my son to the Basketball Hall of Fame on a day where we were working a couple weeks ago, my kids had off. My wife took my kids to the Basketball Hall of Fame. They went again, right? So Nuno's right about that. Keep going. Sorry, I just want to add that detail.
No, and I just did that dork part so that his daughters will know that he's a dork.
Oh, you just wanted to... He wanted to land on the dork.
No, yeah,
Nuno always likes to say, hey, we should land on this. That was Nuno saying, I need to land on the fact that Hembo, with Greedy, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, is a dork. Now, would you like to change your answer? Your fifth time going to the Baseball Hall of Fame, trip or vacation?
Whew. I don't know, because this makes me lean more towards vacation.
What?
Yes, I know that you're going to say trip.
Of course it's a trip.
No, to me, if you love something that much that you are a repeat visitor, that's a vacation. You're not only taking time off work, you're leaving your family for days to go there. That's a vacation.
That is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, I know this is going to be about Jason Kelce, but just go, Smalls. Well, I know what your takeaway was from that piece of audio. Go ahead.
One of my favorite things on earth is when Jeff Saturday hits you with a bro.
Bro.
Whenever he's really passionate about something, he'll be like, bro, come on, bro. And he hits you with the bro. So that's how you know that Jeff Saturday really believes that Jason Kelce is a Hall of Famer.
Unbelievable moments yesterday. We're going to play some audio from Kelce's 40-minute retirement speech. I watched the majority of it. I definitely was tearing up a little bit during it. I'm not going to lie.
Same. Watched it. Cried as well.
He was phenomenal. Greg in South Carolina, listening on 106.3 in South Carolina. What's up, Greg?
Hi. How you guys doing? I've been listening to you since ESPN 760 down in West Palm Beach, man. You're doing a great job with the morning show. You guys are awesome. So
well,
thank you so much
that.
For bringing
thank you.
Great entertainment.
Thank you.
I just wanted to do one note on the trip versus vacation. I think he's taking a road trip because he's going with his friends, not his family. So it makes it a road trip, not necessarily a vacation or a normal trip. And I also want to say RIP to Chris Mortensen. Thank you guys so much.
Great call all around. Yeah, that's a good one. Road trip. That's well, but again, then you think of the movie and it's fun and it's wild and it's crazy. This is Hembo of Greeny who told me today he's not going to be in next week or part of next week because he's going on vacation. I said, where? He said, Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame.
I respect it.
I'm not saying that's not a great place to go, but when you think going to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you think trip more than vacation.
But some people, I understand the thought of a road trip signifying a trip versus vacation, but some people don't like to fly, so they drive everywhere.
Can you just, without giving specific details of your location, obviously, well, I guess it doesn't matter retroactively, you just went on a quote-unquote vacation, like
yes.
A true vacation.
I had to take 2 days off of work,
and
so
what
that's
did
vacation.
You do, just generally?
I flew to Montana, and I went skiing.
With friends.
With friends.
Stayed in a nice location that you wouldn't normally stay in because it's a vacation. Like, hey, I'm going to spend two extra dollars because it's a vacation.
Well, stayed at a friend's house there, but
nice
yes.
Nice location.
Very nice,
okay.
Yes.
How, the hotels in Cooperstown. Maybe they're nice.
So what we're learning here is Evan's just bougie.
You're,
like, you just like you fancy. You just like fancy vacations.
It took you this long to learn that?
No, I'm for this specific vacation thing, you just like fancy trips more than... Not fancy trips.
Would you, even you, you're a diehard sports fan, like a crazy great sports fan, Pat. Would you classify going to the Baseball Hall of Fame as a vacation?
Yeah, if I'm taking time off work and I'm driving and staying there overnight, that's a vacation.
Okay. Yes.
Also, right. To be fair, Evan, you know, this happy anniversary to everyone, right? 6 months since the show started. Evan also, when he's planning vacations, wonders if there's an ESPN affiliate around so he can actually do the show in the morning and then go hang out with his family.
Well, that is true because Nuno's dealing with that coming up in March for me. Like, or, not for me, with me.
So you're
say.
Going out of town, but you want to do the show.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going out of town. I'm going to try to do
yeah.
the show too.
Well, Nuno is right. Internet and locations for broadcast is absolutely.
But like, if you just like went to Toronto, do you consider that a vacation?
Well, Toronto is known as like a really cool place.
But is that a vacation?
Yeah.
Or is it a trip?
I think it's a vacation.
So why is that different? You're
yeah,
just going to a city.
Because the sole purpose of going to Cooperstown, New York for Hembo is just to be in that museum the entire time.
Sure. But
well, the town. The town's cool too.
Yeah, I just went. To one place to do one thing. I just went to Montana to ski.
All right, so maybe I'm wrong on
so
this.
Apparently the Google says trips are something that you do and it often has a purpose. On the other hand, vacations are about the experience. So
trip with a purpose. That's
yeah.
the purpose
so
is going to the museum.
Or is it an experience?
Is it an experience?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that Jason Kelce has multiple pieces of audio from yesterday's retirement speech, and on multiple pieces of audio here that we have in front of us, it says censored. And that's the kind of speech he had yesterday. There's maybe nobody around that could have audio censored for a PG or PG-13 audience and be so appreciated and accepted as much as Jason Kelce has been over the course of his great 13-year career that'll result in him taking a trip to the Hall of Fame, by the way, to get inducted into the Hall of Fame in his home state of Ohio. Here's Kelce yesterday in his official announcement that he's retiring from the NFL.
So this all brings us here to today, where I announce that I am retiring. Where I announce I am retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, I must admit, I am officially overrated. Vastly overrated. But it took a lot of hard work. and determination getting here. I have been the underdog my entire career, and I mean this when I say it. I wish I still was. Few things gave me more joy than proving someone wrong. My mother used to tell people and still says to this day, if you want Jason to do something, all you have to do is tell him he can't. And that was true in more ways than I care to admit.
He was awesome yesterday. He was just so phenomenal, Jason Kelce, and everything he said. And he had all these little slip-ins. If you really paid attention, I'm sure Pat Costello is from Philly, Philly sports fan, loved it. Like, when talking about Nick Sirianni, he did a whole reference on the flowers blooming, which is the whole Sirianni audio that he had years ago or when he first took the job, about taking that job and in that season, whatever it was. He also made reference to, how do I say this, about Nick Foles, whatever the presumption was about Foles. He worked in there about Foles being better at some things than others. He found a way to navigate. He found a way to navigate literally everything. And you know the moment that hit me? And I never thought about this, because why would I? But when he said it was so apropos for me to be in the city of brotherly love, considering the way that I feel about my brother and he feels about me.
I cried.
Oh, my God. I cried. Forget it.
When he talked about his wife, too, and the moment that he met his wife, how he can still see her gliding through the doors, and how he wouldn't be the person or the football player he was without her love and dedication, that part got me, too. I definitely cried during that part.
He did it the right way. Like, that's the best thing I can say about his career, and the best thing I can say about what I saw yesterday, and just allowing himself to feel all of the different feels, the emotions that you go through. And, you know, I heard my former teammate Sean O'Hara talk about this a little bit. Sean was a great center in his own right, Super Bowl champion. But Sean said, those are words that you never want to hear yourself say as an NFL player. I'm retiring from the NFL, because you know how hard it is to get there and to stay there. And this is the culmination of a lifetime of work. This is a guy that came up the hard way as a 6th-round pick, and he had six first-team All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls, Super Bowl champ, played in 2 of them. As decorated a career as any center in the modern era. I mean, you're talking about guys that have 6 All-Pros, you know, or more, being guys that wear gold jackets at the center position. Jason Kelce is in line for that. Like, and so I have the utmost respect for him being able to compete against that guy. Like, I just the utmost respect for what Jason Kelce has been able to do. And yesterday, a lot of respect for the way that he did it, announcing it, and not being afraid to show his emotions in that moment, because they're real.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything you just said about his individual accolades, I also think about what he was as a leader in Philadelphia and how much he poured into the culture within the Eagles and how much success they were able to have with that. Like, removing a Jason Kelce from your locker room and trying to replace that is not an easy thing.
Can we replace the Nick Foles, Doug Peterson statue with the statue of Jason Kelce at the parade in that outfit?
Oh, they'll add it.
In the Mummer's outfit?
Yeah, in the Mummer's outfit. Can we replace it? Like, sure. I just want Jason Kelce in the Mummer's outfit.
Love that.
Let's just put it next to it. I like the Nick Foles, Doug Peterson one.
You like the Nick Foles, Doug Peterson one?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It is? It is? Oh, okay. I haven't seen it in person. But this is an Eagles fan. He said, not for me. Put it next to it. Okay. I mean, Jason Kelce in the Mummer's outfit. But I love what he said about the quote that was up in the offensive line room at that parade, where he says, hungry dogs run faster.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. Like, that is one of those things that you can hold on to. Hungry dogs run faster. Like, that is the definition of Jason Kelce's career.
Yes. Jason Kelce
started from the bottom, now we hear. Like, hungry dogs run faster.
13 seasons, $81.7 million cash or career earnings. More likely than not, over the next 13 years.
Why are you talking about this man's cash?
Because listen to what I'm going to say. Over the next 13 years, he's probably going to make more.
In media?
That's how much of a lovable personality he is. He has become so loved across all sports, entertainment, that this man will make more over the next 13 years than he did the previous 13. And that's about the who more than the what.
So many people in sports and entertainment give you a version of themselves that they think you want to see, or they are trying to mold into a brand. I think Jason Kelce is so lovable because he's genuine. He is 100% himself, and people identify with that, and they love him for it.
No doubt. No doubt. Could there be other news in that division? Your Giants. Nuno's Giants. Are they looking for a new quarterback? We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So we've heard a ton about Justin Fields. We've heard so many teams mention for the Bears' current quarterback. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, was on with Greeny and Hembo yesterday, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time here on ESPN Radio, and brought up an interesting destination possibly for Justin Fields.
Daniel Jones is hurt. He's going to have a rehab offseason. If you trade for Justin Fields near the Giants, he's going to take all of your offseason reps and maybe play for you in the preseason while Daniel Jones gets healthy. Who knows if Daniel Jones can be healthy enough to start the season? You may have an option there that you like. They play in an offense that leans a little bit on a mobile quarterback already, so some of the aspects of his game might translate. And if he were to hypothetically, you know, perform well in the preseason and then you feel good about Daniel Jones coming back, somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, you might be able to flip Justin Fields. So I like it for the Giants for a number of reasons. I have no idea if the Giants do.
Okay, so now that is really interesting, the idea of Justin Fields to the Giants. Let's add one other layer of context here. Rich Eisen, NFL Network, discussed yesterday the five juiciest nuggets he heard from the combine. Now, let's just put something in perspective. Kudos to Nuno, our producer, look back. He did this exact same thing a year ago and leaves the combine with his juicy nuggets.
Yeah.
Last year was Philip Rivers contacting teams to play. That happened. The Bears are close to trading the number one pick. That happened. That did happen. Lamar and the Ravens not exactly on the same page. That happened. He asked out and ultimately got the contract that he wanted. That Green Bay was hoping Rodgers was done in Green Bay. That happened.
Yeah.
And that Brady was maybe not done playing. We know that San Francisco went out there and talked to him because Kyle Shanahan has since discussed that as it relates to his management and coaching of Brock Purdy. So all of that said, to get to Rich Eisen said, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. Doesn't mean this year, but it means he is not their guy.
Yeah, I think he said the two words he kept hearing in regards to the Giants and Daniel Jones were buyer's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where there's nothing they can do about 2024. Daniel Jones is going to make his $40 million, but I think they could put the succession plan in place this offseason. So I think they could go the route of drafting a guy. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. I'm not saying that they're going to do it with the sixth overall pick, although I wouldn't rule out the Giants trying to use that pick or move up to take a quarterback, but I absolutely think they're going to take a quarterback in the first two rounds of this NFL draft.
So would that preclude them, you think, from going out and getting somebody like a Justin Fields? Because if Daniel Jones doesn't have the medical staff give him the green light to start the season, you're going to want somebody out there, and to throw in a rookie quarterback who's maybe a second rounder to start the season, I don't know if that's really the route that they want to go down.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We'll see what happens. They still got Tommy DeVito on their roster, so that, sure, that could potentially be a guy that they use if they don't want to play their young quarterback early on. So we'll see what happens. But I think the Giants have to get serious about finding a long-term solution at the quarterback position, and based off of the injury history from Daniel Jones in 2022, really feeling like the outlier in his career, I think the organization, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, are inclined to go find their own guy. Because remember, they inherited Daniel Jones from the previous regime with Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge, etc. They inherited Daniel Jones. He's not their guy. So I think this is an opportunity for them to go get their guy. And we also got to remember, you're talking about a coach in Brian Daboll who people are going to start looking at with another degree, a different degree of scrutiny going into year three.
So here's now the evolution of the Justin Fields conversation, though. Initially, it was, could the Bears keep him? Then we said, no. Okay, that's not going to happen. So he's not going to be the Bears' starting quarterback. Then we went to the place of, oh, Atlanta. Done deal, Atlanta. Which, you've heard that. I heard that from someone. I'm not saying I'm reporting that. I'm saying somebody who was in Chicago was like, oh, yeah, I'm hearing this stuff. That's where it's going to go. And then, CeCe, you were hearing similar things also at some point about rumors, I'm saying, about Justin Fields to Atlanta. And all the rumors that we were hearing were he's going to be the starter. Now it's Kirk Cousins is going to be the starter in Atlanta. And if he's not, he's staying in Minnesota. And if Atlanta doesn't get him, they're interested in Baker Mayfield, maybe more so, as Jeremy Fowler told us. And now what we're gathering with Justin Fields, whether it's the Giants or the Steelers, he is only going to be acquired, Smalls, in a scenario in which he can compete against someone that hasn't actually lived up to expectations. He's basically competing against himself, whether it's Daniel Jones or Kenny Pickett, someone else that hasn't lived up to first-round billing.
A quarterback of his same ilk that we would put on the same tier, maybe. But yeah, it feels like, based on where we were a month ago, that the market for Justin Fields has shrunk, and almost dramatically. Like, we thought, we knew that Kirk Cousins was still a bigger domino to fall, but I think mm-hmm. we assumed that Minnesota would get a deal done with Kirk
yeah.
and that Tampa would get a deal done with Baker. At least that's the way it was trending. Now that Kirk Cousins seemingly could be on the move out of Minnesota, that really does shift the landscape in a way where Justin Fields doesn't have a ton of options, nor do the Chicago Bears, in a deal that they're trying to make to offload him if they're going to draft Caleb Williams.
They should have traded him when I told them to trade him in the middle of the season.
I keep going back to
that. They should have traded him.
You were dead on with that.
They should have traded him. The value wouldn't have been higher coming off of that Thursday night win on the road against the Washington Commanders.
And so many teams needed a quarterback.
And so many teams had quarterback injuries. They should have moved him.
Let's play that out for a second. So let's say they move him at that point. Let's actually say to Atlanta, okay? Because Atlanta obviously was not satisfied with their quarterback play, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke this year. Let's say they moved him to Atlanta at that point. Let's say it was for a second-round pick. Tyson Bagent becomes the Bears' starting quarterback. They actually probably at that point have the 1 and 2 pick in the draft. Matt Eberflus gets fired.
Yep.
In a way, for Eberflus, it was great that they kept him. In theory, though, looking back on it, would Ryan Poles have been better? Because even though you don't think, none of us think that Justin Fields is a Hall of Famer, he's better than the alternative this past season in Chicago.
Sure.
I don't know that you can rally the troops the way that you did if you're Eberflus in Chicago, if not for borderline competent play at quarterback. The teammates clearly liked Fields. That was obvious. They were happy to root for that man. I don't know how this all would have played out, though, because Carolina would have been worse, but not much worse. I bet you the Bears would have ended up with the 1 and 2 picks in the draft and been looking for a head coach. They would have had Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. Or traded down. It's an interesting thing.
It wouldn't have been a bad position for them to be in. It would have been bad for Matt Eberflus, but it would have been better for the Bears. It would have been better for Justin Fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he would have had a chance right away. Is there any part of that hypothetical that we just brought up, that you brought up, I believe, I want to say it was October 6th, if I'm not mistaken, you said that. I want to say the game was the Bears and Washington on Commanders. The 5th of October, and then you said it on October 6th. I could be wrong on that. But you said it, and let's just call it early October.
Yeah, October 6th, yeah.
Okay, so we play that out. The Bears, 1 and 2 picks in the draft. We have no idea who their head coach is at this point, but how is the organization actually not better? You would have one to the Falcons second rounder. The Falcons, by the way, would also be better in this regard. They would know if they have a quarterback, and if they don't, they could still be right there with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
If we're saying Atlanta could have been that team.
Yeah.
It is interesting, and this is not second guessing it, because you said it the very first time.
Yeah, and I guess that's the part now for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. You look around and you're saying, okay, so who are the teams where Justin could actually provide depth in the quarterback room and a legit chance to compete for the starting job? I mean, there aren't a whole lot of teams that fit that billing right now. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders, I mean, sure, I guess you could do that. I mean, the Denver Broncos are not inclined to take on a bunch of salary because they don't have the cap space. So the fifth-year option and all of that stuff becomes cost prohibitive. I look around the landscape of maybe the Seattle Seahawks. But Jeremy Fowler just came on and said they're looking to be aggressive and move up in the draft. So, I mean, Pittsburgh seems like it could be one where you would allow Fields to compete with Kenny Pickett. That makes a lot of sense. Either way, you're going to ensure yourself that you get better quarterback play than you had last year with the hodgepodge. What was it? Mason Rudolph and other guys of that caliber. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Fields is clearly an upgrade over those dudes. So, yeah, I guess you could look at Pittsburgh, but again, I think Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are in a similar spot in that I don't think any team is going to tab them as QB1 going into the start of the offseason. This is a situation where they're going to have to compete with somebody else on the roster for the starting job going into week 1 of the NFL season.
Correct me if I'm wrong. NFL, all teams, all sports, if they're giving up draft compensation, which in baseball you can't, but in all sports, let's just say, if you're giving up draft compensation or any kind of compensation, that's it. You don't want to also then double down and have to pay the person. So in the case of Justin Fields, you'd be giving up draft compensation. You'd get him cheap for a year, but the second year you'd have to pay him $23 million, whereas Russ, you give up nothing and you pay nothing. It's the I know not everybody wants him, but it's more of a dream scenario than Fields, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say it that way, but Justin Fields represents more upside in terms of what you can get from him if it pops.
Right, exactly.
And so I guess it depends on how those teams view the talent coming into the NFL and how they view the dysfunction around the Chicago Bears. Like, are the Chicago Bears in this spot they're in because of Justin Fields?
Or he's in the spot because
of
them.
Or is he in the spot that he's in because of them? Like, that's the part that's yet to be determined and what we're going to find out this offseason when he hangs on to a new team.
Canty's best bet of the night, plus most unsportsmanlike moments of the day. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so we did that hockey last night, and it didn't go so well. It was an epic fail, snapping our four-game win streak. The play of the night has been on fire until last night. I mean, we went on ice and it didn't work out. The Florida Panthers smoked the New York Rangers 4-2. I mean, wasn't even close, though. Wasn't even that close. But anyway, I digress. We're going back to the association tonight, the NBA.
Go back to your sweet spot.
Yeah, we're going back to our sweet spot. We're going with the Boston Celtics on the road against the Cavs. Now, the Cavs are going to have to deal with the next 3 weeks without Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's having a PRP injection on that knee. So I am taking the Boston Celtics. We're going to tease down the line from 8.5 to 6.5 and take the C's. And then we're going to tease up the total points in the game from 216 to 224. So, again, we're going to lay 6.5 points. We're going to take the under on 224.5 total points scored in the game. And that parlay plays out at plus 132. Let's go. Let's go, Boston. Let's go.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
I'm sorry, did you just say let's go Boston as a New Yorker that's also a Lakers fan?
I did say that. Because you know what I love more than being a New Yorker or being a Lakers fan?
I do, but I'm not going to say
what do I love more than that?
Money.
Exactly. And I'm trying to help the people make money. Trying to help the people make money.
All right. Unsportsmanlike moments. Things that are different. A little quirky. So the Timberwolves beat the Blazers last night. There's no surprise there. Who's the guy that everyone, well, not everyone, who's the guy, CeCe, that you think could be the face of the franchise?
Anthony Edwards. Yeah. New father, right?
Well, you would think that that man, Anthony Edwards, who's the best player on the team, would be a starter, right? He didn't start last night. Why? He didn't get to the floor on time. He was late. Not to the arena. He just, like, I don't know what he was doing. He was just late to the court last night. which means had to use the bathroom, right? It's obvious.
No. He was late to the court because he lost track of time because he's a new father. I guess him and his wife had a new baby late last week. So that's why he said he lost track of time. He wasn't in the starting lineup last night.
Maybe catching a couple Z's back in the locker room pregame. Because if you're a new father, you're not sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to go to the bathroom. I'm reporting that right now.
That's what you're reporting?
He was stuck in the bathroom.
Okay.
It's happened to all of us.
Maybe the baby had an exploding diaper situation.
Sure. Any way you cut it. Okay.
So you want to rope in the bathroom as a part of why he was
late. Yeah. A lot of people are late to things because they were stuck in the bathroom or late to something. I mean, it's normal. Right. It's natural. But
I mean, he just became a dad over the last week. So, yeah. I mean, I could get how you lose track of time and show up to the arena late.
Dad brain. New dad brain.
Yeah, new dad brain. That's your focus. But, you know. The rest of the locker room ain't going to understand paternity leave. Like, they need you there. You're the best player on the team.
Correct.
Like, so he showed up. The fact that he was there. And even in an off night, they were able to get a win against the Blazers. That's good on them.
Anthony Edwards is the best player in the T-Wolves. Didn't start by accident. Came off the bench last night and still played less minutes than Deuce McBride did two nights ago for the Knicks when he went in for Jalen Brunson and he played the next 47 straight minutes, which never happens in the NBA tonight.
No.
But when you're playing for Tibbs and you got injuries,
you're going to get that work.
You're going to get to 47
Tibbs
minutes.
Tibbs go get that work.
Exactly.
Tibbs is going to get that work.
So next one on Sportsmanlike Moments. So you know that NFL teams and all teams like to wish people a happy birthday on their social media.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And those are probably scheduled tweets that somebody in the social media department is trying to work ahead and just make sure that these tweets are scheduled because – hey, it's Chris Canty's birthday. Let's make sure we wish him a happy birthday from the Giants or the Ravens or the Cowboys account. Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars did this yesterday, and they wished a player a happy birthday. That player is Foley Fatukasi. Now, that's nice of them to wish him a happy birthday. They also wished him later in the day good riddance because they cut him.
Ha! Savagery.
You wish him a happy birthday on your team-issued social media accounts, and then you release him?
That's right.
The savagery.
Happy birthday.
The savagery.
You're not with us. Wow, that is savage.
Now, it's obviously not the same people. Like, you don't have the general manager running the Twitter.
But still, there should be a level of awareness, though. Social media department should have a level of awareness. Hey, like, hey, what are we doing with this guy? Because we want to put him out there on the social media, but should we, shouldn't we? Like, we need to know what you're going to do around this guy. Are you going to make a transaction with him today? Because if you are, we probably want to avoid this.
I just feel, and Rob, our social media guru, can explain this better than I can, but I'm sure a lot of that stuff is scheduled out. You can schedule social media posts. So I'm sure they're just looking at players' birthdays for the month, and they probably schedule all that stuff out, and they didn't even consider that he might not be with the team that day.
So there was a team that I was playing for, and I'm not going to name the team because it would be embarrassing, but there was a player that got a community service award by a philanthropic organization in that community. And while the player was at the award ceremony representing the team as the recipient of the award, he got cut.
No.
He got cut. That happened.
So he found out when he got off the stage?
Yes, that happened.
Oh, that's bad.
Savagery.
That is
the
bad.
The savagery.
I'll give you another one like that. 1989 or 90, I forget the year. Rick Mahorn is somebody I've gotten to know over the course of time. Wonderful guy. Rick Mahorn was on the world champion Detroit Pistons. He went to the parade for them winning the championship. He gets back from the parade. He realizes he's a Timberwolf. They had the expansion draft on the same day as the parade. He got picked by the Timberwolves. He actually wasn't a Piston at the parade.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, there wasn't Twitter or anything like that. And, like, there was no cell phones then. So it's not like he can get in touch with an agent or whatever. I don't think he ever played for the Timberwolves. But, like, literally was at the parade, comes back. And realize I'm actually not on this team.
That's pretty bad.
There are probably millions of stories like not thousands, millions of stories like that over the course of time where a guy gets cut or a gal gets cut from a team or traded or whatever it is. And the timing is just so unfortunate.
There was a player once in St. Louis that played for the Blues and there was a scheduled night for them, like Chris Canty t-shirt night at the arena. And we didn't know if he was going to be on the team that night. Like,
oh, yeah.
His schedule.
The bobblehead night.
Yeah, like the bobblehead. We didn't know if he was going to be there. He was. He stayed with the team, and it worked out.
Okay.
But we were like, do they not give them out at the door? Do they say this is now a keepsake because he's not with the team if that happens? But
so what you're saying is the Mets should be careful with any bobblehead nights before the trade deadline
probably,
this year?
Okay. Probably.
Okay.
They should know better by now with all the stuff that's happened to my baseball team. Right. I mean, they left – where they leave Willie Randolph in Anaheim. They fired him in Anaheim. They left him there, I think, if I'm getting that story
how
right.
How did that Zach Wheeler thing work out for you guys? Yeah.
Well, let's see how 42 a year works out for the Phillies. Just saying.
I mean, it's all right, worked out pretty good the last few years.
Last one on Sportsmanlike Moment. So Barry Odom is the head football coach at UNLV, and he wanted to raise he was doing something for a fundraiser. Well, this is something. He rode a bull to raise money for the football program.
Oh!
I mean, we're showing this on ESPNU. This is really and he put it wore the UNLV helmet while riding the bull. There has to be a better way to raise money for the football
program. I'm disappointed. I wanted the bull to come back and get some mo. Like you should have your ass thoroughly kicked by the bull for even thinking that this is okay. Like, I get it, spectacle, everybody look at me, but that's a bull. Have more respect for the bull. What you did was bull.
How long did he last on that bull? Like 5 seconds? Not even.
For all of that, bro.
He bounced off that.
It ain't worth the risk, bro.
I like Coach Odom.
Riding around on a bull.
Greeny up next. We're on to Wednesday. We're on Sportsmanlike.
Yikes.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.